Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Sometimes ordinary people do amazing things. Community inspiration with Tony and Melissa in the morning. WICC 600.
So we heard about Charles Colin actually in a couple of different publications. I saw there was a title in particular in one of our local newspapers saying Connecticut teen bullying victim makes history with U.S. Congress. And immediately I had to meet this person. So right now on the line, we have Charles Colin, who is from Old Greenwich. And Charles, good morning. How are you?
Good. Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. Charles, first of all, tell us your story. How did you end up being discovered, I think, across many newspapers in our area?
Sure. Well, it all sort of starts with my anti-bullying campaign and my initiative, Unity Day. So Unity Day is a day where everyone comes together for tolerance, kindness, and respect. It's a day that I started 2 years ago at my school, and I've been expanding it ever since. So it's really a day where everyone comes together, despite their differences, for civil discourse.
Now, Charles, I don't want to bring up a sore subject, but just out of curiosity, were you ever bullied in school? Did you go through a rough time?
Yes. I was bullied from fifth to eighth grade, and it got extremely bad. I had people telling me to go kill myself sometimes. I had people who would walk on the other side of the hallway as me. It wasn't physical, but it was emotional and it was verbal, and it just wasn't a good time in my life. And I eventually switched schools from my school here in Riverside to Greens Farms Academy, and that was life-changing. The people at Greens Farms really accepted me for who I was, and that really gave me the confidence to try to turn my negative my negative experience into a positive.
Well, Charles, first of all, I'm so sorry that you went through that. No one should ever go through it. My brother was tremendously bullied in middle and high school, and it's something that I know has scarred him, where he had to move to another state. So I can completely sympathize with you, and personally, I'm so sorry you went through that. That's absolutely horrible. But I do want to say that I think it's commendable that you now want to turn that into a change. So what are some of the things you're pushing for? I know you mentioned Unity Day, which I think is beautiful. But what's happening at our nation's capital that you're trying to push for every school across the nation?
Sure. So after Unity Day was such a success last year, I had the idea to try to make Unity Day into a national day of unity for October 23rd. And so I immediately started emailing at every office of Congress that I could. And after months of emailing relentlessly, I had 20 offices respond. And from there, last summer, I met with 20 different offices of Congress and a few senators. And they loved the idea, and they wanted to do everything they could to help. And so from there, it really blossomed into this big project. And with the help of Senator Blumenthal from here in Connecticut and the help of Congressman Tom Emmer, the two leaders in Washington, we actually wrote a resolution, and it's introduced in both the House and the Senate as a bipartisan document.
It seems like, Charles, obviously, to make that pass, I would think that you need a lot of support. You need a lot of people to get on board with this and kind of make it sort of at the forefront for lawmakers to pass it. So are there ways for people to get involved? Where can they go to get on board with some of the things you're trying to do?
Of course. There are many different ways for people to get involved. One of them would be to visit my website, unitychallenge.org. Again, that's unitychallenge.org. That's a great way to find some new information that's a good way to find some more information on the initiative and how it's going and where it's going and what I've done so far. And then another great way to get involved would be the Unity Challenge. So the Unity Challenge is when you pick one of the three words of the themes of Unity Day, that being tolerance, kindness, and respect. And you write that word on your hand and then post a picture of yourself holding that hand up on social media and explain why you chose that word and what that word means to you.
I love that. I think that's so neat, and especially with social media growing with its popularity, such a great idea. Charles Cullen, thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you for the efforts that you're not just sitting right here in Connecticut, but you're trying to make it nationwide. We appreciate it, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on. The power of one can impact so many different people.
With us here in the studio is Lee Ganim from Ganim's Garden Center. Of course, you may know him better as that garden guy, Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. And it's always a pleasure to speak with Lee. Lee, how you doing this morning,
Good, man? Good. Thanks for having me in this morning.
Yeah, it's been a while. Haven't seen
it
you.
It has been, it yes. Has been. We've been very busy. We're the only two live shows on Sunday,
yes,
you know?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Live and in color, right?
First of all, before we even get started, I want to thank you for the poinsettia tree that you're handing off here. But if you don't mind, I'm not going to tell my wife that you gave it to me. I'm going to tell her that I stopped off on the way home.
Of course. You paid a lot of money for it.
Paid a lot of money for it.
My father used to play that game. We put a higher price on a gift so make it look better.
He was a very smart man.
He was very smart,
there
yes.
he goes. And just give it to her because I love her.
That's correct.
Exactly. So we're getting into the holiday season, and I'm sure over there it must be very, very busy, especially with Christmas trees, right?
Well, Christmas trees, yes. It's a primary product this time of the year. Of course, we're a big shop local proponent. We're on the couple of committees with the town of Fairfield doing a shop local, by the way, with Mark Barr. I actually had him on my show a couple of weeks ago, Mark and Beverly Ballas from the Chamber. So this is a very key a portion of our business cycle here. The people stay in town and spend their money because a lot of that money stays in town. And if you're shopping online, these are one of the few, the items we carry are one of the few things that you cannot buy online or be satisfied when you get it. So we learned a long time ago with Harry and David, actually one of my employees got a wreath from them, and the box was nicer than the wreath. So that's when we decided to start making wreaths. And if you stop by, you'll see me. I'm making wreaths all day long, and we have a lot of orders, and then we do a lot of combination, and we have a lot of classes. We were just talking to Melissa about class. We do decorating classes, private classes. So we're pretty much booked up for this year. But keep in mind for next year and book early. We start talking about it in October.
Okay. And when you talk about trees, I mean, there's so much really to think about, you know? I mean, you just don't go in and just grab the first tree that you find.
Well, most people do because the trees are so much better than they were, say, the days that my dad used to get trees from Canada, where they were just wild trees or what we call culture trees. So the gentlemen up there or the ladies used to go out and prune trees and to get them a little fuller until about 1969, we started getting to what's called plantation grown. And plantation grown are farms. So we're really not hurting the environment. We're actually supporting a business that grows trees. And this is what these people do for a living. The problems with growing trees, of course, most people don't start growing trees until it's like their second vocation when they retire from a job. And it takes a long time to grow a tree. It takes 9 to 12 years. And the reason why you see so many articles about the shortage this year is because there was a 4 or 5 year kind of layoff where people weren't buying a lot of trees. So the people that were growing trees couldn't grow any more trees to keep that cycle going. So really, if you have a 12-year cycle and you're growing 10 acres of trees, you need 120 acres to keep up with the 12-year cycle. And it's a constant planting. The second thing that happened was there was 1 year when all the cuttings or rootings of the trees were infected with a disease, a phytophthora, which kills the root system. And you don't even know about it till the following spring because they plant them in the fall. So it's essentially, it's an economic revolution of this sort. And the drought, of course, in the Midwest really hurt a lot of those growers. So the whole thing kind of snowballs. So we have this shortage, and we're going to have a shortage until about 2022. So right now, trees are a premium. A lot of my fellow garden center owners across the country either got cut terribly for their orders or didn't get their orders, period, because the people go out of business or, you know, a number of factors work into it. The box stores had a field day for a number of years with a lot of these tree farms going out of business, and they would go in and claim these trees as bankruptcies, and they would clear cut them and never replant them. So it's an economic problem, and it'll straighten itself out. But in the meantime, we all have to pay that price of, you know, why don't we have enough trees, or we're still looking for more trees because I think we're going to have a couple of big weekends ahead of us. So
Oh, sure, sure. I'm sure you're very busy right now.
We're always busy, but, you know, this is a very concentrated time of the year for us. It's a four-week hiatus that just goes and comes, and then we get to relax on Christmas Eve, so it's nice, you know.
Lee, are people paying more for their trees because of the shortage?
Of course, because, you know, economics designate that we're going to pay more, so we have to pass it on. And really, if you think about all the time that's put into a tree and all the pruning and the weed control, and you can tell the difference if you go by some of the tree lots, that the branches don't have a lot of needles on them. Yeah. And that's because those growers don't cut the grass. They don't maintain them. Like a nursery, it would be the same business. It's just like growing any type of nursery stock. So we have probably we hung in with the same grower for a number of years to ensure that this situation, we saw this coming 5 years ago. And we've protected ourselves by keeping staying in business with the same people. We even have a third generation grower in Quebec. I did business. I'm doing business with the grandson. I did business with the father and the grandfather. So, and progressively, the grandson is doing a much better job. My trees are gorgeous this year. So,
yeah,
we're very happy that in a year of shortage, at least you have a good product. And if you have to get a little more money for it, the people are getting their value.
But if it's fair to say that we're not going to see kind of a full, I guess, growth season until you said 2022 is when we'll kind of see.
The inventory will catch up by then, because those trees that have been planted over the last 7 or 8 years are going to start maturing by that time.
So is it fair to say that almost every, you said like 9 to 12 years, will we always kind of go through shortages? Like, will we always go through bouts of shortages?
Well, you know what happens? Everybody thinks it's just like we used to buy watermelons years ago from Delaware, and the guys that didn't plant a lot of watermelons 1 year, the market went high because it's an auction. And then they decided, since they got so much money, they're going to plant more the next year. So what happens? The market goes down. So hopefully this will happen, and the cycle will continue where we'll get back into tune with the regular prices. Normal pricing.
We're speaking with Lee Ganim. Lee, of course, with Ganim Garden Center. You can hear him every Sunday here at 8 a.m. He's that garden guy. What type of trees are you carrying? I mean, Douglas fir and all that?
Well,
there?
No, because we were just talking about Douglas fir are our least favorite because they droop so much. You can't put heavy ornaments. So our number one and number two trees, which we do carry, are Fraser fir from North Carolina because they grow the best down there, and balsam fir, of course, from Canada because they have the best aroma. So they hold the better, they have the stronger branching, and they last the longest. We've had people tell us that they last 6 to 8 weeks. So the key to keeping a tree alive in the house is, of course, the first week is crucial, making sure they have enough water, because they're a living plant. Technically, they're cut, but they will suck it up. And we always recommend that you check the water every single day for like the first week, because they will take up gallons of water. And you might get some needle drop, because there's going to be dead needles. So people always call up and say, oh, my tree is, but it's taking up water. So that's a good sign. So it's all in how the folks, and it's very, it's a safety factor too. There was an article yesterday, a well-watered tree takes a lot longer to burn if something happens with an electrical shortage than a dry tree. A dry tree will go up like a candle, so in 20 seconds. So
yeah, that's a great tip.
The fire department put out a wonderful post on Facebook. So those are good key items to keep in mind, that make sure you water that tree. And we have all kinds of different watering methods. You don't have to bend over anymore. We have this little tubey thing you attach to the tree.
Is awesome.
Yeah, no, it's a great little tool. And, right. You know, it makes life a lot easier. And if you want a nice tree, the smell in the house, of course, is just outstanding. So, and you're contributing to the environment. I mean, it's a natural tree. It's not an artificial that's being imported and being tariffed. And the tariffs are really terrible coming out of China right now.
So you're not dealing with artificial trees at all?
We don't. We leave it to our competitors, and God bless them. I mean, they put a lot of work into those artificial. And the prices there have reflected. They're up a lot higher.
Oh, sure, sure.
So, you know, and then we find about 50% of the people that have artificial trees come in and buy a fresh tree after a couple of years, because they want that old tree smell in the house, and you can't get that with
that
artificial.
Sure, sure. Well, there's nothing, there's really nothing like it. You know, I mean, if you're willing to do the work,
that's what it's all about.
Sure, yeah. Sure. And I remember going back to the old days at my grandfather's house, and he'd always have the tree was never the greatest, but
are Charlie Brown trees.
Yeah, exactly. But there was something about it that it was Christmas tradition. Yeah,
that's correct.
You know, sure, yeah. Sure, absolutely. All right, we're speaking with Lee Ganim. He's here
And we've got the phone ringing here. I don't know why. It's making
They're excited to talk to Lee, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
Guys, it's not Sunday.
It's not Sunday.
Open mic on Sunday with Lee Gann. I'm so sorry.
Lee, where are you located?
320 Kings Highway Cutoff in Fairfield. We've been there 51 years and 81 years in business, and we were honored by the Chamber of Commerce for that. So,
all right.
That's
awesome. That is great. Is there anything you want to add before we let you go?
Well, you know, we're very old-fashioned. We make everything at the store. We make custom roping. We make custom wreaths, and we make a lot of pop-ins. Pop-ins are those pots you just pop into your pot. So check us out. We have everything natural. Nothing is artificial in our store. And we always say Merry Christmas to our customers because it is Merry Christmas.
That's right.
It's not just the holidays.
So. All right. Mm-hmm. What's your website before I forget?
GannumsGardenCenter.com.
All right. Sounds good. Lee, thank you so much. Don't forget, Lee is on every Sunday morning at 8 a.m., that garden guy. And you can call in, ask your questions. Lee always has interesting guests. So check it out, 8 o'clock on Sundays. Thank you so much, Lee.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to everybody.